everyone. Welcome to today's episode of 10 Minute Marketing. I'm your host, Sonia Crystal Williams. So today I have a guest joining us, Sir Daryl Rowntree. And Sir Daryl, you have got a background in logistics. You are basically the logistics expert. When I think of logistics, I think of you. I didn't know what 3PL or 4PL meant until I met you. So y'all, we're here today to talk to Sir Daryl about his company, ZipShip, and how he's been able to grow that company in such a short period of time and what's been working for you in your business. So thanks for being here, Sir Daryl.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm glad to hear that the learning stuck, right? 3PL and 4PL. So thank you.
That's
for that.
Right. No, I think that's huge. So for those of you that haven't heard of that terminology, I think it's important to know it, particularly if you're in the e-commerce space. So, Sir Daryl, I want to ask you to kind of just tell us more about what ZipShip does in that space.
Sure. So ZipShip is a full service third party logistics company. So let me explain full service first. So full service means that we have kind of everything that you would need from a third party logistics provider. We've got warehousing, we handle storage, we handle fulfillment, and we handle logistics. So we do have an in-house freight brokerage, which means that we're able to coordinate container pickups from different ports. We're also able to coordinate different inbound shipments if you need something shipped from a manufacturer to us. And then from our warehouse to either a distribution center, we can ship directly to a customer or we can ship directly to a retailer. So we're pretty much able to handle all of your warehousing services in-house.
Got you. So you all are like the behind the scenes team. If I had a clothing company or a jewelry company, then I get my product to you, and then you all take care of everything that needs to happen to get it in front of a customer. Is that right?
That is correct. We're, believe it or not, we're the block in between your website and the customer. So, and if everything is done correctly, it should be seamless.
The hidden middleman.
Yes.
Invisible. Got it. Okay. So, your background, let's talk a little bit about your background. Mm-hmm. You were in logistics prior to launching ZipShip. Is that right?
That is correct. I'm definitely going to date myself here, but I've been in logistics for 20 plus years. Kind of, right. Kind of amazing to even say that, but
dating yourself. I've been in marketing and sales 20 plus. So, hey, that's all right.
We're contemporaries, right? There you go. Yeah, a really deep background in supply chain. So supply chain, you know, is everything from like raw materials, manufacturing, distribution, logistics, and returns. So it is like I like to say, supply chain is from the manufacturer to the shelf. It's everything. A lot of customers don't think about like how do my items actually get to me or get to the shelf in the store. And really, COVID brought supply chain to the forefront. So when we started to see shelves empty of, paper towels, toilet paper, masks, and all those different things, there was a significant interruption in supply chain. So kind of back to my background, I started in manufacturing with the food and beverage company, spent about 10 years there. And it was a large Fortune 50 company. And really, I credit that time of my life with just a thirst and hunger for knowledge in the supply chain space. Going into an environment where the processes and the documentation was very rigid and the expectations were high from a performance standpoint, you know, we really learned like the deep ins and outs of the business that we operated in. And then after that, I had a good friend of mine reach out, and she needed some assistance kind of getting connected to a retailer, and it was something I was familiar with, and that was the birth of ZipShip, because she had a 3PL provider that was not invisible in the process. So there were a lot of interruptions, a lot of customer complaints, a lot of lost inventory, missing products, missing orders. So just a lot of red flags. And I said, well, you know, until we find someone else, I'll take on the fulfillment and just kind of do it out of my house. And that was the birth and origin of ZipShip. So, you know, one person turned into two people, which turned into four, turned into eight. And next thing you know, I had a dozen clients that I was providing service for.
Are you still working out of the home?
No. I'd probably be a divorced man if I was still working out of the home. So it quickly exploded. So I had a lot of inventory with that one client. And then as I added more, you know, I started looking around and say, okay, well, I got to find a small warehouse. Mm-hmm. So I was lucky enough to find a small warehouse. It was about 3,000 square feet and not far from home. It was in Mapleton, Georgia, a five minute, you know, drive from home. And it served its purpose. It had, you know, had office space, had about, you know, 3,000 square feet. This was at the onset of COVID. So this was, you know, mm-hmm. 2019, right? And what was happening was the market was, the e-commerce market was being pushed by, you know, by COVID, folks being at home and, you know, shopping. They got shopping, right? They had the relief checks. They had the government relief checks.
That's true. I forgot about those already.
How could you forget, right?
Oh.
Yeah. So there was all this disposable income available.
Yeah.
Folks were, you know, they were, you know, lighting Amazon and their favorite online retailers up. So there was a significant surge in e-commerce businesses. Like a lot of folks, you know, started making hair care products at home and doing knitting, all types of things. And we benefited from that. You know, so, you know, our customer base continued to grow and it forced us to move into another location. Went from 3,000 square feet to 12,000 square feet in, I think, 2020. And the momentum just kept going. It just kept going. And we moved from 12,000 feet to 18,000 square feet.
Wow.
And at this point, I connected with the Go-Getter team. And this was when we really started to build out some marketing. So, you know, prior to that, it had been our growth strategy had been primarily word of mouth and purely relationships, which, you know, are two methods that I still really strongly believe in. Mm-hmm. But then we started to add the marketing piece. So we revamped our website. We were talking about the flow, right, from the keyword search and SEO, right?
Yeah.
So we implemented those forms and, you know, really started to see a boost and changing the website. Honestly, it changed our credibility, right? Because the website was really done nicely. It was clean. It had all the right content. It flowed well. The color scheme, the palette was, you know, was nicely done. We had a, you know, really good logo. And what started to happen is we started to receive interest from larger clients. So it was not only, you know, the startup crew, the startup solopreneurs and different things, but it started to be like, you know, businesses, like local businesses, and some larger entities.
Wow. So if I were to map this journey, it was like 2018, 2019 or so that first friend came to you. So someone you knew, relationship, which is still huge. You know, I always tell people it's great. And, you know, I specialize in helping people with online marketing, but nothing replaces the relationships you have, the face-to-face communication, getting out and putting yourself in front of people, especially in startup phase. But to map out what happened with you. So 2018-ish, you start and then you said it quickly multiplied through relationships. Word of mouth, this person told that person, this e-commerce business owner told that one. And then by 2020, it was like, whoa, and COVID helped, which is good. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And it really is a great story. I mean, the nights that I sit up kind of worrying about what's next, you know, I reflect back to the story kind of, you know, my barber said something to me and it was really profound. It was, you know, he said, D, you know, the person you are today is preparing you for the person that you're going to be tomorrow. And it's an endless cycle of that. So, you know, when we talk about relationships and we talk about investing in yourself, The person that you are today is a result of the investment that you made yesterday and the week prior and the year prior. And you're starting to see that manifestation now. And the person that you are today, if you're continuing to invest in yourself and your business, you're going to be a different person tomorrow, next week, next year. And it's a constant cycle. And, you know, the other thing that you mentioned, that I'm a, you know, beyond a firm believer in relationships, but, you know, I truly believe relationships are the one of the master keys to any type of success, whether doesn't matter if you're entrepreneurship, if you're, you know, if you're an athlete, if you're in corporate America, like relationships are the cornerstone for your success. Because, you know, what happens as you know, as your message gets out there, as your connection and your energy gets out there, you know, folks remember who you are and you know, how you make them feel, whether or not you're able to service them or, you know, just if you have good, you know, good positive vibes with them, they always come back. Oh, that guy, he does, you know, he does warehousing, or they know that, okay, he has a warehouse, so he's the warehouse guy. If I got a question, I can go back to him. And, you know, that's really been, and it still is a you know, part of our growth strategy is just, you know, getting more out there, you know, getting in front of people, not speaking or anything like that. But, you know, I do attend a lot of networking shows, you know, shows, so Modex and different things. And just, you know, introduce myself to, you know, to a lot of different individuals and share and exchange info. And, you know, we talk about problems and, you know, things that are going on in the market. And a lot of times it comes back full circle, you know, three, 4 times.
And I want to harp on that for a second, because some people will think when they're growing their business and another person will say, hey, get out there, they think, I have to get on a stage, I have to speak. And you said, I don't get on stages necessarily and speak. I'm just a participant, but you're making the connections. So let's talk about the how and making those connections. Okay, so you exchange info, right? But what does that really look like for you when you go home with 10 business cards from a networking event or an industry conference that you attended? What happens? Because some people, the business cards are in a pile. So what happens in Sir Beryl's house with the business cards?
Got it. And I'm really happy to share this. And maybe it'll help somebody. So I have a hard and fast rule. Right. When I take business cards, I give myself 24 hours. So within 24 hours, doesn't matter if my business card stack is one person or five or whatever. Right. I need to get a message, a thank you message within 24 hours. So if I take a business card, you know, I'll make some notes. I will make a concerted effort to respond within 24 hours. That means I just came back from the National Retail Federation up in New York, right? So I probably had 20 or 30 business cards. So what that looks like is when I got back to the hotel, you know, every day it was a 3-day event. Every day I got back, I had 5 or 6 business cards. I would, you know, I cheat a little bit now. Now I use ChatGPT to come up with the
That's all right.
At least the framework for the email. And of course, I'll change it and modify it, but I come up with the email. Hey, it was great to meet you. You know, really enjoyed the synergy and the discussion. And I send that email, and I also include a Calendly link. So I say, hey, it was great connecting. I know we talked about setting up some time to talk, but I'll include my calendar, my Calendly link, so that they can actually follow up and, hey, yeah, I want to connect. Let's set up a meeting and follow up and reconnect to further the discussion. So that piece is really been successful for me. It's really it does a couple things. Like from a I know we talk about relationships and kind of being what's the word I'm looking for? Authenticity, right? And you know, the folks value time, and if you're respectful of folks' time and you connect and you know, you got that good positive vibe, you know, from that initial interaction. And when folks see that you're, you know, authentic and, hey, we met, I want to make sure we keep the connection, you know, hot, keep it alive. You reach out quickly. That goes a long way. I mean, it really does. And I've had multiple people, when they do reply to an email, they say, hey, you know, I really appreciate the fact that you, you know, that you kept the continuity going, that, that says a lot and it means a lot. And, you know, those relationships, you know, just continue forward. So, you know, responding 24 hours is the first rule that I follow. The second one is, you know, authenticity, you know, go into the relationship, you know, authentic, your true self. That my second rule. And third rule is following up and just, you know, keeping the connection alive. And whether that's, you know, certainly not daily, because that's probably too, too aggressive, but, you know, after the initial conversation, maybe a week, you know, then 2 weeks, and then you kind of let it tail off. There's nothing really brewing. And, you know, those rules have really, you know, helped me grow the business, helped me build new relationships. And I got a quick story. It's helped scale relationships. And what I mean by scale is, let's say you meet a person, and at the time it's not a good fit for you and that person to kind of move forward, but it's a good connection, good relationship, you know. And that person runs into someone else that has a need, and they're able to say, oh, I just met somebody that works in this space, you know, let me refer you to. So here recently, I'll do kind of a shameless plug, but we just started a new relationship with international supply partners, and they're an industrial supply company. Well, they just secured a very large RFP with a large enterprise level client, and they were looking for support, looking for a resource. Well, a person that I met, you know, maybe three weeks ago, introduced me to the CEO of International Supply Partners. And through that introduction, through that relationship, you know, we're now going to partner with ISP and supporting that RFP. So just that's, you know, a quick testament to the power of relationships, through the power of genuine connection, through, just looking to be a resource, looking to be, you know, of service and looking to support, you know, the entrepreneur network. You know, there's a lot of opportunities that can come through that method.
Absolutely. And you're talking about email is kind of the tech part of how you're nurturing those relationships. And I always tell clients and friends and associates that when you're running a business, like after you do those steps you talked about, which I love that you have a framework for how you're approaching it, the final step, yes, is like you said, like you're going to directly email those people. And then eventually, you know, you're checking in with them, you don't hear anything, put them in your email list, you know. If as long as your email list isn't sending out a daily email, you know, if you send out an email every other week or once a month and it's high value and informational, that was one of the first things I did when I started growing my marketing agency, when I would meet people at events. And when I contacted them, I would say, is it okay if I also put you on my email list? I dropped some really great information. And I really didn't really get anyone that said no, you know, so most people are open to that, you know, as long as, you know, and I would give them the heads up. So that's really sound advice. There's one more topic I want to talk about. And that is, you also mentioned that you initially launched without, you know, let's just say branding in place, right? The logo, the color scheme and all that. So that came in retrospect for you a couple of years into the business. And then once you got there, you know, that has worked for you as well. I want to talk about that a little bit too. And just kind of the value of that. So for you, what are the steps, I guess I would say, investment wise, and you and I work closely together when you were in that phase, of course, but just from your point of view as the business owner, how did you look at, hey, I got to get a website up and I'm hoping that this website will deliver some leads to me. What did that look like for you?
So during that time, it was certainly hire an expert, right? So at the time we were still in growth phase within the business. So there was a lot of activity. I was still very, very, very much hands-on in like the day-to-day operation. Even though we were training new associates, we had, you know, still building the team, still very, very much hands-on with like the day-to-day operation. And at the end of the day, I made some attempts to, you know, to try to like do a website and some of the marketing things, and just quickly realized like, okay, this is not my area of expertise and I know it. And, you know, working with you all, I had a very clear, I had a really clear understanding of kind of what the process is, you know, what we're going to do, what the anticipated outcome, you know, we reasonably expect, right? And the results were there, right? We started with the website, we started building out the social media platform. You know, we had a posting calendar, and just, you know, you guys were really good at walking me through the process, telling me what's going to happen, actually making it happen. And then we get together and review the results and then adjust. And, you know, for us, you know, the return on investment was certainly there, but, you know, I definitely, you know, say to my fellow entrepreneurs, like, you know, as much as we like to try to create with our own hands and it is cost effective, you know, the other thing you have to look at is time. And it's one thing if you have the time, you know, to invest, you know, to, because you got to learn it, you got to spend time learning the language, so to speak, the marketing language, right, digital marketing language, and the customer profiles and the customer personas. And so, you know, at the end of the day, it's worth the investment to kind of save yourself some time and energy, and paying an expert to, you know, help you develop in the areas that you're, you know, that you're not, you know, not strong in. And I'd say even before that, like, you really have to got to be honest with yourself and just say, you know, this isn't my strong suit. Yep. Let me rely
Don't
on
Don't try that. To do it all.
But, you know, entrepreneurs, we think we have a, you know, Superman, Superwoman cape on, right? And that we have to do it all. You know, the bottom line is always in view. I mean, I used to walk around the warehouse and, you know, I see a person sitting down and, you know, I would have my virtual reality, like augmented reality. I see this person standing and I can just see money, like, you know, just flying. All right.
Going down the drain.
Just flying around. I'm like, oh man, look, you gotta do some work, fella. I'm sorry. And just stand around.
I hear you. All right. Well, thank you so much, Shadaryl. I want to wrap up with a couple of quick questions. One is, given that you're in the e-commerce space and on social media, there are dozens. I mean, I know I get sucked into the Instagram and Facebook ads all the time and end up buying stuff that I see online, especially if the ad's been showing to me for a while. What is your advice or recommendations or thoughts that you would speak to e-commerce business owners as it relates to getting their stuff together when it's time to outsource 3PL type of support?
Sure. So the first thing is kind of know where you are from a business standpoint, and kind of a peek behind the curtain. Our sweet spot, our ideal customer that we look for is at the tipping point when the balance between sales, marketing, and the warehouse operation is starting to teeter more toward the operation. So if you're at a point where you're spending, you know, in an 8-hour day, you're spending 4 hours doing, you know, your own picking, your own packing, your own shipping, right? Mm-hmm. If you're spending more than half your day in that part of the operation, you probably, you know, want to start to consider, right? Even with your own internal team, because, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs that they try to hire, they hire internally, they hire people to do that. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, even with doing that, like, you still get to a point where it's, you know, you got like space limitations, like you're still working out of your home. You got folks, you know, you're working out of your basement. Like, I met a young lady the other night, she was doing her fulfillment out of her basement, and she's doing, you know, 500-700 orders a day out of her basement. And she's just like, it's too much. Like, it's, you know, it's taking over my house, taking over my, and then develop a checklist. And on that checklist, for when you start to look for 3PL partners, you know, look for, I'd say proximity. So if you're a local business, and, you know, ideally you want to have a local 3PL. So if you need to go visit the warehouse, you can. You know, most 3PLs, they have a, you know, 24-hour policy. If you let them know, you know, within 24 hours, you can go by and see them. So, you know, local is preferred. When it comes to pricing, you know, you want to target, I'd say anywhere from like 15% to 25% of kind of what your product is. So let's say you got a product that sells for $10, right? You want to get your fulfillment done for, you know, $2 to $3. I'm sorry. 10 to 15. So $1 to $1.50, maybe $1.75. And then in that same same breath, kind of look at the range of services that they offer as well. So okay. is it just fulfillment, like, you know, warehousing, storage and fulfillment, or are there some additional services that they offer? And finally, last but definitely not least, is customer service, right? So you absolutely want a dedicated account representative. You want one throat to choke, like I like to say. Like you want to be able to pick up the phone and call someone and say, I've got an issue, I've got a problem, can you help me? And, you know, if you're not able to reach that person, do they have another mechanism, you know, email or phone number that you can get connected to the 3PL and get some support?
Perfect. Sir Dale, how can people get in touch with you, find more information, and do you have any special promotions or offers for anyone who would want to take advantage of your service?
Sure. So you can reach us at our website, first and foremost, www.zipshipusa.com. So zipshipusa.com. We're on social media, as you know, Instagram at zipshipusa is our social media name. And then if you're just looking for like general info, info@zipshipusa.com, and you'll get myself or someone from our team to respond. And, you know, we do have a full suite of services that we offer, everything that I just mentioned, including a dedicated account manager. And we've just launched that public locker network is really a growing thing. I know, you know, you and I, we talked about it a while back, but we finally launched our technology, our app. It's called ShipSafe Network. It's available on Google Play and the Apple Store and Shopify. So if you're a Shopify owner and you're looking to gain access to the growing public locker network, we've got about 1,000 locations nationwide right now, but that number is growing extremely, extremely quickly.
Wow.
And it enables your Shopify clients to ship stuff into a locker so they can avoid, you know, porch piracy and have a lot more control of their shipments, you know, downstream. And you can also process returns.
Wow. A lot of amazing things in the works for you. Everyone, I will drop those links so you can access them if you want to check it out. Thank you so much again, Sir Dale, for being a part of our show. For everyone else, until next time. Thank you.
Thank you.